I'm going to take our reading this morning from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and the 15th verse. Let us all stand in the reading of God's Word. I let you sit during the revival, but I'd like us to stand at least on Sunday for the reading of the Word of God. And just before we have the reading of God's Word, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord, we pray thy blessing, Lord, on the very important part of this service. We bless thy servants, that you would give me the words, O God, that will lift us and strengthen us in this service, that you will give me the anointing, God, that is needed, God, that you will help us, God, to be better Christians, that we will strive to be more like thee, O God. Lord, more like the Master, God, than I would ever be, that we will not just be, Lord, trying to be just like someone else, but to be like Christ. And we pray that you would do that work in lives and hearts this day in your name. Amen. I want to read this morning from 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter and the 15th verse. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You may be seated. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Amen. I thank the Lord. This has been a good week for me. I feel like the Lord has opened up various doors for me to talk to people. It seems like the doors just came wide open in witnessing and talking about the Lord and testifying. And yesterday I was at a wedding. I preached a wedding, and I was able to sit with a certain family there, and we made friends. And one of the men is from West Virginia, and he married into a family up here. And the family was very open to the gospel. And they said, where is your church? We want to visit that church. And I went to visit Frank Murray, and one of the nurses in the hospital there is very open and hungry for the gospel. Amen. I talked with her, and she was saying, well, where is the church? Before I even get time to invite them or take a card to give it to them, they want to know where the church is. They're hungry. A lot of people are hungry in these last days for the gospel. And so this morning, I'm going to, briefly, if I had it stayed in length, it would be a long sermon, and I have to break it down very briefly today, but 10 Bible reasons why we believe in holiness. 10 Bible reasons why we believe in holiness. And maybe this could conclude my revival sermons. Amen. But I feel, amen, it's very, very essential. Amen. And I've been preaching in the revival services, very simple preaching, on repentance, what is repentance, and conversion, the steps of repentance, and water baptism, and then how to overcome temptations. But holiness, of course, means a life without sin, which to some people seems very obnoxious. In other words, that we cannot live a life without sin. But we should not expect people to believe in holiness unless or until we have given them first the proof from the Bible. Now, we can't give anything proof from the Bible. This is why the Word of God said we should be ready to answer anyone that comes to us, but it must be backed up by the Bible. If we don't have the Bible to back us up, they're not going to believe our theory. And there's a lot of theories going around today that are not backed up by the Bible. And if we have no proof for it, then we cannot say what we want to say. And so therefore, if we say we believe in holiness, then first there must be proof from the Bible standpoint, and second, there should be evidence of the fruit of holiness in everyday life. Proof in the Bible, and also there should be fruits in everyday living of a life of holiness. We should at least know the proof that there is in the Bible, and we should be able to back our own life up with holiness living. Now, it's sad to say that there are many people in the Pentecostal realm that do not back their life up with holy living. Very, very sad. The Church of God has been a holiness church, and known for a holiness church from the very beginning of her founding. And I feel if we were anything less than that, then we have lost out with God somewhere down the line. Amen. I believe it's God's will that we still would be holy and a holiness people. And I don't preach on holiness that much, but I believe in it. Amen. And I believe that God still has a people that will be holy and that can obtain holiness. First of all, holiness was God's choice from the very beginning. In Ephesians, the 1st chapter and the 4th verse, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. That we should be holy and without blame in him, before him in love. Before God created the earth, he made his choice of people and the kind that he wanted. And his choice, of course, was a holy people without sin. His choice was the people to live holy without blame before him, but also to love him. Now, if we love God, I believe we're going to strive to be a holy people. Am I right? If you love somebody, you strive to be like them. You don't try to be opposite from them. You don't try to anyway fight them, but you try in every way to please them because you love that individual. God has never changed his mind about his people. Amen. His plan was always to have a holy people. And that yet we find that was his first choice. If we are not holy and living before him in love and without blame, then we should then strive to live him and to love him a little more. Amen, that we have. I believe when people begin to fail God in holy living and in holy conduct before God, I believe that our love for him is failing somewhere down the line. Amen. Because you know that first fervent love when you felt, when you found the Lord, was something very special, wasn't it? And I believe you're willing to do anything that God wanted you to do because the Holy Spirit would speak to your heart that you didn't fight and you didn't bicker against it, but you became willing because you love the Lord that much. Amen. And when you love the Lord with all your heart and soul and mind, I believe that you're not going to fight the Scripture, but you're going to strive to please him and live a life blameless before him. And so God's first choice from the very beginning was a holy people. And God has not changed his mind. Second, God placed himself on oath that we might serve him in holiness. Luke, the first chapter, and the 73rd verses through the 75th verses. The oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of the enemy, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. Now God swore to Abraham that he would grant unto him the privilege of living righteous and holiness all the days of his life. In other words, it means not a duration just during revival. Some people are holy only during revival. Some people only live right when things go their way. Am I right? Amen. They feel they can live right and shout the victory. Others seem they only have a Sunday religion, and they can be holy on Sunday and live like the devil on Monday. And don't live a life at work. Don't live a life in your home and before your children. I don't like to doubt anybody, but I like to give this gospel truth this morning. Amen. There's people that have the Holy Ghost, and sometimes they have still a bad temper or something. And I don't doubt their experience. I don't say they don't have the Holy Ghost. God forbid I wouldn't say that, but I believe they need still a little deeper depth with God somewhere in their life to overcome a life, amen, where we could obtain such a life in God. And so it's God's will that we would live holy all the days of our life. It's not an experience just before death or an experience after death. It's an experience right now, amen, that we could know our exact place with God where we stand. We know our stand with God. Amen. You know how you live on that job. You know how you live in your home or before your children or when you're alone. Amen. And the Word of God said it is our privilege to live in holiness and righteousness. Amen. For the rest of our days. Amen. That we can obtain a life in God. And then God called us unto holiness. We are called unto holiness. And if we listen to the call of God, that is his exact work that he wants to do for any church or for any people. Amen. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and the 7th and the 8th verses. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us his Holy Spirit. In every provision that God hath made, he hath paid a price for our holiness. For our salvation, he paid a price. Amen. When they spit upon him and they mocked him and they ridiculed him, he never even turned back to them. But he was a holy Christ. Amen. And because he redeemed us with his precious blood, and then he sanctified us outside the city walls of Jerusalem, But they did all that they could to bring shame and reproach upon him, and he became shame and reproach for us, that we might be sanctified for his blood and with his blood and through his blood. And therefore we become sanctified through the precious blood of Jesus. And he said, and Paul was saying here to those in the Thessalonians here, that when man fights holy people and holiness, and when you fight holiness and holiness living and a holiness life, you really don't fight man, but you're really fighting God. When you become a despiser of those that live holy, you really become a despiser of those that, because the Holy Ghost is in you, amen. And it's the Holy Ghost that makes you live right and makes you holy before God. We cannot obtain holiness in ourselves, but only through sanctification and through the blood of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Ghost are we able to obtain holiness. Amen. The little song says, I'm going through, I'm going through. It doesn't matter how they despise me. Amen. They may despise you. Sometimes people will despise you to live right. And because you call yourself a holiness person or a holiness church. Amen. But you see, if we are obedient to God and if we strive to live like him, we are called by God to be holy this morning. Amen. That is his will for our life, amen. Nothing less than this, amen. I believe that he would have, but we are called to be a holy church and a holy people, amen. Not some of the time, but all of the time, amen. So God has called us unto holiness. And then God commanded his people to be holy. It's a command in 1 Peter, the first chapter, and the 15 and the 16 verses. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And then he said, Leviticus, the 11th chapter and the 44th verse, for I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore sanctify yourselves and be ye holy. God is holy. Heaven is holy. The angels are holy. Amen. And those that he redeems, amen, he wants them to obtain a holy life and a holy living. He said, be holy in all matter of your conversation. Many times your conversation cannot be holy. And that is where the devil steps people from their victory. It's when you leave this church, or sometimes after a service, or walking down this aisle, you can be so blessed and have a good victory. And you'll talk to somebody down this aisle, and before you know it, something will come out, and it will hurt your feelings, or didn't come out in the right manner, and you'll leave this church so defeated. Amen. That isn't the will of God. Amen. In all your conversation, we must be careful the words that we say and weigh those words. Amen. That we will not be offensive to our brother or our sister at no time. Amen. But we will lift them up. Amen. That when we talk to them, there will be words of kindness and words of love and words of holiness. That the fruit will flow out of our lives and we can say, that sister has helped me. That brother has helped me. They strengthened me. Amen. If somebody gets us down and we feel worse than before we left, amen, then there's something wrong. Amen. But that's all of our life. Amen. Holy in all of our conversation before God. Amen. We should not have idle words or idle talking. I like fun, and I believe sometimes we can overdo it sometimes. So we lose the very best that God has for his people. Amen. We should be mindful in our homes and around our tables. You know where the devil likes to work? A lot of times, most of the time, he works right in your home. He'll work around your dinner table. I know I have children. A lot of times, the correction time comes a lot around the table. Amen. We don't allow this. We don't allow that. And then if you do this, the better you don't do that. We're eating now. But the devil will try many times to get in your family around that table. And your conversation, that's when the family's together. And you begin to converse one to another. And the old devil will come with cross words and try to bring upsetness in your very home through conversations. Because I believe that it's God's will to be holy in your conversation. Amen. At all times. Amen. Nothing be offensive, amen, but to lift your brother or your sister. And I'm talking about your immediate family, your mother, your father, your brothers and sisters that dwell in that home. And that's where the devil shocks you and robs you from your victory. It's not so much maybe in the school. It's out there. Not so much in the church. But it's in that immediate family that you live with 7 days out of the week. It's where the devil will have you come out with words and cross words and tension and anger and words that will hurt and words that will cut until you lose your victory. You know, I don't know why I said that. I don't know why I said it, but the devil made you say it, and you lose victory, amen, in the sight of God, amen. I believe it's time that we begin to walk around with a meek and a quiet spirit, amen, in our homes, amen, and among one another, among our immediate family, because I believe that's where it begins, don't you, amen, in that household where the devil's on the loose, amen. Be holy in all matter of conversation. I've conversed with people. There were times after I conversed with them, I wish I didn't converse with them. They will bound your spirit. Telephone calls sometimes will bound your spirit. Your telephone conversation should be a holy manner to lift one another. Amen. It's not to spread a gossip. It's not to talk about somebody. It's not to down somebody. It means, amen, that we're able to lift somebody up over that telephone. Amen. Even though those telephones have their means, but we as Christians must use them for the glory of God. Amen. That we can help somebody when they call us. Amen. Not to make it a gossip session. Amen. But to lift somebody up in prayer and pray for them. Amen. Not to spread words one to another and say so-and-so called me. This one told me this and this one told me that. And when someone tells you to pray for somebody, I love to go to people. When I'm asking, I give them a special request, and there's some I can always depend upon. When I say I want a special need, and I don't want it to go any further, I can confide in that person, and I can count on them, and I know it's not going to go to their best friend or nobody else, but they're going to stay on their knees and bring it to God. Amen. You see, we've lost that confidence in the church. Amen. We don't know who to go to anymore. We don't know who to talk to anymore. We don't know who to trust. We don't know who to put confidence in. We don't know who is our friend anymore. And when we get to such a place, we have lost the holy life of living. Amen. Because when we live holy and love Him, we should put confidence in our brother and our sister. Amen. And that I can go to you anytime I want. I've got a problem. I don't know who to share it with. I don't know who to talk it to. But I need someone to talk it to. And you can confide with that person. Amen. And leave that house not feeling worried. Not feeling guilty or upset because you're afraid it might spin around. But they'll take it to the Lord in prayer. And you know that God is going to make a way for you. Hallelujah. I believe it's God's will, church. Amen. That we again begin to get holy before God in all manner of conversation before Him. That we can put our trust in one another. Our trust in one another. But what I said, so important this morning. Amen. Not to spread scandal, not to spread shame, not to spread disgrace, not to think evil of our brother or our sister, but it means, amen, that we would be holy this morning. Amen. That we could trust our brother and our sister, that we will not become a reproach. Now there's times we have to abstain from all appearance of evil. I believe in that. Amen. We have to look, and people are watching us and looking at us and looking for something. But yet sometimes, you know, Christian people many times could become such people sometimes, the accuser. And the devil is the accuser of the brethren this morning. And we don't want to be an accuser this morning. Amen. But we want to love God. Amen. And we want, amen, to know what God has for His people and for His church this morning. That our brother and sister is able to live a holy life without reproach. Amen. And then we may be partakers of His holiness. For they verily for a few chasten us after their own pleasure. But He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Hebrews 12:10. Man will never be as holy as God. Now we can never be as holy as God. Could we? That almost be impossible. We cannot be as holy as God. He's God. But one thing, we are His offspring. And because we are His offspring, we become the family of God. And we are akin to God. And to be akin to God, we ought to have His kind of a nature. Amen. of kin and in the family of God means then that we are his children and we are to share his nature. His nature is a holy nature. And we are to strive as if we can never be as holy as God. But we are the family of God. And we are akin to God. And because we are to share his nature. Because we are his children. Amen. And because we are his children, he said, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. In Acts 17:28, amen. Holiness will not be reached by fighting it. If you fight holiness, it can never be obtained by fighting holiness. You cannot fight justification. When you're saved, you become justified. The Apostle Paul says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So when you're saved, you're in good standing before God because God justifies you. Amen. You've got a clear conscience toward God and a clear conscience toward your fellow man. And that's what I like. Amen. When you're saved, amen, you have that clear conscience. There's a lot of Christians today who don't have that clear conscience toward their fellow man no more. It's that. Amen. And I believe when you get old-time religion and old-time holiness, you begin to have a clear conscience toward your fellow man. Amen. There'll be no hatred. There'll be no jealousy. There'll be no backbiting. There'll be no fault-finding. There'll be no one you look at and say, she's a hypocrite and he's a hypocrite. But you'll leave that over to God. Amen. And you won't fight holiness. Amen. But you will love God. Amen. Justification means good living before God. And God's children must strive to be like him. As we are justified and stand before him. I can stand before him and say, Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. Amen. I want to stand before you without any blame in my life because I love you today. And only way we can stand before him and obtain what God wants us to obtain, amen, is loving him. And then holiness is Christ is our example. 1 Peter the 2nd chapter 21 through 22. For even hereunto what ye call, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He was sinless. His endurance of the trial, his accusations against him did not have him come back. Amen. But he loved us. Amen. He became our example this morning. Amen. You see, when you start fighting holiness, you're just fighting God. Amen. You can't win. When you begin to fight holy people and holy living, amen. I've seen Brother Carl Cox was telling us, he was our pastor. He started a field of church down in the South Carolina in those days where they really fought holiness down in the deep south. And some people still do down in that part of the south. They don't like holiness or church of God because we preach holiness. And they did everything to stop them from building that church. They got a shotgun and they wanted to shoot him. And they even one of them even molested his own daughter. It got so bad. And it got down to the very bottom. That's in Walhalla, South Carolina. They didn't want a holiness church in town. They have any other kind of church, but not a holiness church. And those people down in Walhalla, South Carolina, fought that Brother Carl Cox, which built many churches. And they have learned to have a good church there today. He built it, but he was persecuted for it. Amen. Because it was a holiness church. Amen. Don't you think, amen, everybody loves so good a church. Amen. If we strive to be holiness, the devil is going to fight us more. And the devil will hate us more. But that doesn't make me want to lower my standards. That doesn't make me want to quit my preaching. Amen. It doesn't make me quit because two-thirds of the majority don't go along with it. Amen. But I can stand before my God, Brother Gray, and say, I preach holiness before the people. Amen. How they live and how they walk and how they talk. It's between them and God. I can say, I preach it clean. I preach it right. I didn't compromise. Amen. I didn't let it down. Amen. But Lord, I was faithful to thee through the years of my ministry. But I believe in holy living and a holy life and that we can obtain it. And the only way we're going to see God is being holy. Hallelujah. Give me a sign and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. It's sad to say, but there's a lot of people who are run over on us today. Church of God used to, I say used to, as a majority, used to be real strict on holiness. We have let it go so long, let it slide so long, until we let everything just get by. And I believe, amen, God still loves a church. that stands for it. Preaches it. Amen. Praise God. Holiness can be perfected in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. I want you to note the scripture. Cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, the God said the Holy Spirit will do the inward work. He'll do it. But then you have to do a little work too. Cleanse yourself from what? From all filthy habits, from a filthy conversation, and from filthiness of the flesh. When God does his work on the inside, it's up to you. Amen. Also to cleanse some of those outward things. Amen. God will give you the grace to do it. We expect God to do it all for us. Amen. But the Holy Spirit does something for you on the inside. Cleanse yourself from the filthiness of the flesh. Cleanse yourself from filthiness of conversation. Amen. Cleanse yourself from filthy habits. Amen. And when you begin to cleanse yourself, God will take over and he'll give you grace and he'll give you power. Yes. Hallelujah. Yeah, one brother came up here Friday night, got sanctified. At least he tried. The Lord dealt with him. He's not here today. I don't like to mention names. But he had one heavy cigarette. He's a brother. I've been smoking now. I think it was over 16 years. Maybe longer than that. He got up from the altar and the Lord told him to go to his car and throw those cigarettes down. And he said he took them and he flung them out. I don't know where he flung them out, but out there somewhere. When he came back and he prayed again. Amen. See, God was doing the work inside. But he had to do something about it too. Amen. He had to obey God. God's not going to take that thing out of your pocket. Amen. You've got to take it out and throw it away and say, in the name of the Lord, I'll get rid of it. Amen. By his grace, if you see what God has for you, amen, he'll do the finished work. But there are some people that will not give it up because they expect God to come in with his hand and take that old habit out from your life. I'm preaching pretty straight. It takes it that way. Amen. Hallelujah. That's the way I believe in it. Amen. God wants to clean your life up. We have to also cleanse our outward flesh and he'll do the rest for us. Amen. And the Holy Ghost will enter in a greater measure when you obey God, that those things will leave that temple completely. I don't like to harp on certain sins or habits. There's plenty of people that have a tongue. I think that it's so long that it can be as worse than trying these other habits. Oh, this is bad. This is bad. A long tongue is just as bad as anything else. Amen. I've seen people cut people with a sharp tongue and a long tongue. Amen. That will hurt you and cut you until you see their Holy Ghost fill and you begin to doubt it. Amen. Cleanse yourself from filthy conversation. Amen. That a sinless life will bear fruits of holiness. Paul here was right into the Romans, speaking after the manner of men, knowing what they were before conversion. In Romans the 6th chapter, I'll be closing very briefly, 19 and 22nd verses, and I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto righteousness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof we are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. And thou being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruits unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Amen. And the Apostle Paul tells us, amen, we know how we lived before our conversion. How many remember their life? We don't like to look back. But we remember our life after sin. Amen. I wouldn't want to go back to that old life with you. No. And there's nothing back there that I would want anymore. Amen. I don't want to go back. They sing that song, I'm too near hope to turn back now. Amen. And they sing that song, I'll take nothing for my journey now. Amen. I wouldn't make anything for my journey now. Nothing for it. Amen. You can have all that stuff that's back there. Amen. That you want. All that filth. Amen. You can have it. Amen. I'm so glad. Amen. I wouldn't trade back. I wouldn't want it. Amen. I'm not tempted for it. Amen. But God, by his grace, amen, makes you rise above those things. Amen. Until you look at it. Amen. Without disgrace. You look at it with shame. And you look at it with disgust. Amen. And you can look in the face of Jesus and say, goodbye, old world. Goodbye.
Amen. I don't want to turn back. Amen. What's it a profit a man if he gained this whole world and lose his own soul this morning? Amen. It means this morning that there's victorious living for you in the name of Jesus. There is victory living. As I preach on temptation Thursday night, the devil will stay around you as long as you make him think he's going to be a winner. If he thinks he's going to win with you, if you talk back with him and you compromise with him and you begin to relate to him, he'll stay around you and he'll stick around you. He'll play games with you. But the moment he knows that you're not going, that you're not going to talk with him and converse with him, he'll leave you. Amen. He'll flee from you. And that's why the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist it? Amen. You don't talk to him. Amen. When those thoughts come to your mind and the old devil will tell you you're under depression or you're in there straight down or you can't cope with the problem and you keep on going over that with the racket and the devil hangs around you more and more. And he'll say, here's somebody. I'm going to say it. We have a lot of mental homes. I even see a Christian go into a mental home. I'm saying that because how would she ever go there without you? I believe what happens is because the devil just stood around so long that he went out. He went out. But the moment the devil comes around you, you make him know that he's in the wrong territory. You make him know that you're not serving him. And you say, go get him behind me, Satan, amen. And you plead the person's blood, and he's a loser. And he'll leave. He'll leave, amen. He'll go find somebody else to hang around, amen. But he knows he's a loser. As long as he knows he has a chance of winning, he'll stick around you as long as he can. He'll stick around you for days, and he'll stick around you for nights. But as long as he knows that he's not going to win, he'll leave you. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you'll take that victory. And you have that victory. You have that victory. You heard what I said. You have that victory. In no other name, but in the name of Jesus, and through the precious blood of Jesus, you're an overcomer, and you have that victory. Let us stand right now, amen, and raise your hand and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to thy precious name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Holiness. Holiness unto the Lord will be everywhere. When Jesus returns back to this earth for 1,000 years of the millennium reign, Zechariah said there'll be holiness unto the Lord. Holiness on the horse's bridle. Horses on the pots and pans in the kitchen. Amen. Holiness on our automobile. Holiness unto the Lord. And the word of God said, amen, follow peace with all men. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We cannot get to heaven without holiness. Hallelujah. We have to make everything right. No sin will enter into heaven. Hallelujah. I don't want to be left here and go to the tribulation. Amen. I want to make it right before God that I can look in his face and say there's nothing my soul and the Savior this morning. We're so concerned that everybody else's lives have their living and what they have to give up and how what they have to make right. But oh God, can I look in your face and say there's nothing between this morning. There's nothing between this morning. Hallelujah. I would every head bowed this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I say again, I will purge my people, for I am coming for a people that are unspotted, and are blameless before me. For I shall separate the wheat and the tares, and they shall be separated, and I shall gather in the true ones that are called by my name, and they shall enter into that rapture, and they shall receive my glory, thus saith the Lord. But I come again unto thee with my servant, with my word, that I shall cleanse thee, and I shall sanctify thee, and I shall call thee unto my own, that thou shalt know I am the Lord thy God in the midst of my people, for I am a holy God, and I will receive nothing less, but I will take with me those that are holy, and those that are blameless before me, those will I bring with me when I return. Get ready, thus saith the Lord, for thy coming is at hand, thus saith the Lord. I may tarry, but I tarry not very long, thus saith the Lord, but occupy until I come, and wait upon me, thus saith the Lord, and call upon my name, and seek my face, and meet that condition that you are called for need, for thou knowest the need within your life. And I plead unto thee against this morning that thou wilt hearken unto my words, for my words have called thee not one time, but many times. There have been times that thou hast been arrested on the road, for I have called thee, and thou hast hearkened not. Why dost thou play around with my calling, thus saith the Lord? For my calling is calling thee again this hour. I have loved thee with everlasting love, and I call unto thee, I plead with thee, that thou wilt return unto me. Return unto me, thus saith the Lord, and do not shun the promises I have given unto thee, but seek my face while I yet can be found. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God wants to sell out this morning for individuals here. Sell out to God. Sell out to God. Hallelujah.